You are listening to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the best place for movie topics and blockbuster discussions. Welcome to Movie Cheer Town.
Now, everyone, it's time to spread a bit of movie cheer.
Welcome to the Movie Cheer Podcast, the show for movie fans. I am your host AP, aka Mr. Movie Cheer, and on today's edition of the Movie Cheer Pod, I will be discussing virtual reality-based movies, VR-based movies, ladies and gents, some of the best ones. I've got four to discuss today in today's headline topic, looking at movies that have plots based around virtual reality settings, plot formats, plot devices, whatever you want to call them. Plot. I've lost the plot probably by this point. But yeah, I think there's some really great stories out there, especially in the world of science fiction, using this, you know, virtual reality as a setting for a story. And that's going to be today's headline topic for today's show. And it's a, you know, it's a big show, big action-packed show as always. Lots of other stuff going on. But before we get to today's big headline topic, I like to start the show off with a segment called What's Been on the Screen.
Ooh, what's been on the screen?
What's been on the screen? What have I been watching over this past week, ladies and gents? Well, this has been, you know, past few weeks. I've watched recently a movie that I've been kind of wanting to watch for quite some time, and that movie is Ambulance. It was a 2022 movie directed by Michael Bay. It's an action thriller starring Jake Gyllenhaal. I know I'm probably going to butcher this name. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II and Isa Gonzalez. Now, this movie is very much like, I would say the influence of this movie is like Heat and Speed. If you combine them two, the love child is this movie, Ambulance. It is a really cracking movie, and I heard a lot of great things about it at the time of the release. It just never got around to watching it. There's not many movies to watch out there, ladies and gents. So I gave this a watch. And basically, you know, the plot of this movie is, without giving away too many spoilers to the plot, these two brothers, Jake Gyllenhaal and Abdul-Mateen II, they're two characters, the brothers, the dad was like a crime lord, and one of them's kind of like this, he's an army guy, and he's, you know, his wife's not well, he needs to raise money, and his brother, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, his character is like a, you know, he's a criminal, you know, he makes big plans, and you see it fairly early on the movie, he recruits his brother for this job, and it's a bank heist. So they're going on, they got the big gang with them, they got a group of people. They go along, and you see early on that the police are well aware of what they're going to do. Like the police who are interacting with them, like the on street cops or whatever. It's like the specialist units who deal with bank heist. They're aware that there's a job that's going to go down, so they go in, and you know, they're about to do the bank job. It goes wrong. Things happen. Then the police are onto them straight away. Then the two brothers end up hijacking an ambulance, and they've got two hostages in the ambulance. They've got the paramedic, played by Isa Gonzalez, and then you've got someone who is someone else they have captive as well, who is actually an injured cop. And throughout this story, you know, they're having to do like operations on this cop in the chase, because they're basically, all the cops are chasing this ambulance. Jake Gyllenhaal's driving it, and they're holding the paramedic and the cop whose life is in the balance captive, you know, and they're holding them as sort of like ransom, if you like, while they're trying to get away, and everyone's chasing them. And it is just amazing. It basically, the majority of the story takes place in the ambulance. It's a car chase basically throughout a lot of the story, and It is really, really good. And there's definitely, there's a joke at the beginning of the movie with two of the cops where they say like a line from The Rock. And one of the cops says, "What's The Rock? You mean The Rock, Dwayne Johnson?" And it's like a very tongue-in-cheek. Michael Bay, who directed this, directed The Rock as well. I love The Rock. I think it's a brilliant movie. I think Michael Bay is a, you know, I think for years he did them Transformer movies. Some of them, I think some of them are okay, but they're not my kind of jam. This is, I think he just suits this type of movie. This is his sort of movie. But yeah, it's got like the high scenes of, you know, very much like it's like watching a spiritual successor to Heat, very much like that. And the high intensity chases that, like, you know, the scenes in the ambulance very much reminds me of Speed. And I think them comparisons have probably been drawn many a times over because you can obviously see it. What I really liked about this, though, was Jake Gyllenhaal. He is one of my, I think over the years I've enjoyed him, and more I watch Jake Gyllenhaal, I see him as like one of my favorite actors, and I think he's like one of the best actors of a generation. I think he's just past 20 years, he's definitely up there. Male actors, he is one of the best, I think. His role in this as well, he's kind of a bit psychopathic in this at times. He kind of like has like them moments where he goes a bit Nightcrawler. If you ever watch that movie, Nightcrawler with Jake Gyllenhaal, he is a complete and utter psychopath in that movie. He's a complete weirdo, just an absolute narcissist. And in this movie, he kind of has them tendency, not quite to the Nightcrawler level, but he really does. He kind of drifts into that mode a bit, and you can see it. And I was watching it, it kind of reminds me of that character from Nightcrawler a bit in certain moments in this movie. But yeah, it's a really good movie, some great action scenes. And when the scenes are not in the ambulance, there is very little of it not in the ambulance, but them scenes are also really well done. I think the music as well. Because it's one of the movies where it's just, it is, because it's all taking place in, well, it's, I say it's all taking place in, I just talk about the pace of the movie, it's very quick, you know what I mean? It's a very quick pacing from the heist. It's, you know, heist scenes are really, like really fast paced. And the movie as a whole, you know, it's a fairly long movie, like maybe like a 2-hour movie. And it flows really well. And I think the music is really, you know, keeps the beat of the story. You know, the music's really well done. Like I said, great directing, really great scenes. I really enjoyed it. I think it's a really solid movie. I think if you like stuff like, if you like, you know, your Heat, them sort of like 90s, it definitely had a vibe of a 90s action movie. 90s, early 2000s. Late 90s, early 2000s action movie vibe. It doesn't feel like a movie from this era, but it is so nice and refreshing to see movies like that still coming out and seeing something that's not just, you know, I like superhero movies, and I'm not going to say I don't like them, but it's nice to see that, you know, them movies can still exist that are a bit, you know, a bit different, you know, and sure, it's definitely got vibes of other movies in there, but it's just cool to see something different, a bit more, you know, in the cinemas. And what amazes me the most about this, it's not like a little amount of budget, but it's still a small budget in comparison when you see other big budget blockbuster movies. $40 million budget. Now, granted, it only took about $52 million at the box office, so it didn't do that well. I don't know if this was a straight-to-streaming release. I'm not too sure, if I'm being honest. But $40 million on this, it's like, it looks stunning. It looks like a really well-shot movie. Great acting, great performances, great you know, chases. The ambulance scenes are really well done. And especially when they're operating on the guy, there's like scenes that I've got a weak stomach, me, so there's some scenes here. I was looking between my fingers, like watching this movie at points. It was a really well done movie. I really enjoyed it. Next up, what else have I been watching? I've watched a few things, haven't I, over the past few weeks, because we've not done a Movie Cheer Pod podcast episode in a few weeks. But I watched a movie that I've been meaning to watch for a while, and the movie is The Frighteners. This was released in 1996. A comedy supernatural horror movie. starring Michael J. Fox. You also have in the, who else have we got in here? We've got Trini Alvarado, Jake Busey is in this, and John Astin. I'm going to get to him in a moment. But basically, the plot of this movie, Michael J. Fox plays this paranormal investigative type guy. So basically, if your house is haunted, you hire this guy in, and you know he gets rid of the ghost. And it turns out early on in the movie, this isn't a spoiler, he's a bit of a con artist, really. Because he actually, I didn't see this coming. Because I sort of read a bit of the plot, but I didn't know what the plot was going to be. But basically, he works with ghosts. So he knows like these two ghosts. And he works with them. Basically, he can see dead people because he had a car accident. His wife was killed in this accident. And after the accident, he can see, you know, ghosts. So he goes to a graveyard, he sees loads of ghosts, you know, in like the, it looks like Ghostbusters when you see the ghosts like them, but they're talking to him. So these two blokes, they like go in and scare people. He goes in and collects the money and people hire him as the ghost guy. And he works. So he's a bit of a con artist in this movie. This movie as well was directed by Peter Jackson. This was the movie before he directed Fellowship of the Ring. So huge leap. I mean, 1996, it took him, it was 5 years after this he released Lord of the Rings. Obviously, it took many years to film that, I imagine, and put that all together, Lord of the Rings. So that was a long project to work on that trilogy. But yeah, he directed this. It was filmed in New Zealand. I think they used a lot of like miniature models to make it look like a town in America as well, which was interesting, reading up on Wikipedia about this. But yeah, I really enjoy this movie. It's got, for me, it feels like a Tim Burton movie, if I'm being honest. I'm watching it, feels like a Tim Burton movie. Definitely, I suppose it's got Danny Elfman. He does the score for this as well, so that makes it more feel like a Tim Burton movie. I got feels, vibes of the Addams Family movies, Ghostbusters in this as well with the ghost. Very much a comedy. It's not like a laugh-in-your-face comedy. It's definitely got them horror moments. He's basically, you know, he goes in and he's trying to, he works as a paranormal eradicator of getting rid of spirits and stuff like that. But basically then the story turns out then there's a grim reaper going around the local town and ripping out the souls of people and killing people instantly, ripping out the hearts, and people then go to heaven or wherever you want to say it goes. So basically the, you know, he's got to then, you know, try and find out who is this grim reaper, who's behind the mask. Basically, because loads of people get killed and there's like numbers on their heads and stuff like that. So there's an interesting plot going in there as well. But I liked it. I might like Michael J. Fox. Admittedly, I've not watched a ton of movies other than Back to the Future with Michael J. Fox, but I'm pretty sure there's probably more gems like this out there with him in. I thought it was a really great movie. And what I really liked as well in this movie, so I'll get to it, there was an actor called John Astin in this. Now, I didn't know who this guy was. His name didn't ring a bell. I looked at it, and he plays another one of the ghosts who works with Michael J. Fox's character, Frank Bannister. And this guy he played the original Gomez Adams in the Addams Family TV show. What was it, like the 50s was out or something like that? 50s, 60s? Like the black and white show. And I was reading up. This guy is still alive as well. I think it's awesome. Like he's still going. And he plays one of the ghosts in this movie, and I think like they had to like with the effects, because they use a lot of practical effects. They had to like obviously shoot the actors on set first, and then they had to like redo the scenes on a green screen as the ghost. So we had to like wear loads of makeup, and because they're very much like blue and white glowing ghosts, you know, like very much like Ghostbusters. But yeah, I think it's a really good movie. It's a decent movie. This definitely one is that is worthy of watching over Halloween season for sure. Oh yeah, The Frighteners. Well worth the watch, ladies and gents. But that's what's been on my screen over the past few weeks. Now let's move on to today's headline topic.
The Movie Cheer Podcast presents the headline topic for the episode.
Remember to spread a
headline topic.
Head.
Mind Topic.
Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer.
So today's headline topic, VR-based movies, virtual reality-based movies, movies that use VR, virtual reality, as a plot device, a main plot in a movie. I've got four choices today, ladies and gents, and a lot of these movies do drift into the world of science fiction. I think VR is very much a plot form that is, you know, is kind of situated in the world of science fiction. Not that it can't be used in comedy, but I think it's always going to have that science fiction, maybe it'd be a sci-fi comedy. I think it's always going to be in the land of sci-fi, for me anyway. But yeah, I've got four choices here, and I thought, let's dive into it. I thought it'd be a cool topic. And I will say some of these, you maybe feel like, oh, maybe that's not fully virtual reality. I suppose it's subjective. If you don't think it is, that's cool. But let me give you my choices. I thought, let's go into it. I thought it'd be a cool episode. So the first movie I want to discuss is a movie called The 13th Floor. Now, this movie was recommended to me by my buddy in the community, Jed Halpin. Jed has recommended some great movies over the years. More, you know, one that I've mentioned on the show specifically is Dark City. Dark City is a great movie that he recommended, Jed. And I just want to say, first of all, thank you very much, Jed, for the recommendation of this movie, The 13th Floor. So he recommended this to me last year. Only just got around to watching it, but I appreciate the recommendation because I really did enjoy this movie, Jed. But anyway, let's get into it. So this is a sci-fi movie. It's very much a neo-noir science fiction thriller. That's what I would say. That's what Wikipedia says. This was released in 1999. This was actually released after The Matrix. So just bear this in mind. After The Matrix, this movie came out. So that I don't want to give spoilers, because if I spoiled the end of this movie, it will ruin it for you. So I will keep, you know, spoiler free with this discussion, but get into some details without losing too much of the plot details. But story of this movie, it's set in 1999, present day, and there's this company led by this guy, and they run this, it's big, like billion-dollar simulation company. They build simulations, video game simulations, and they're working on a secret project that is a simulator, like a life simulator, where you can go into this virtual reality machine. You know, you go and you lie down, you go into this simulator, and they've created this simulated world in 1937. But all the people in this virtual world have got jobs, they've got families, they've got names, and then they've got avatars. So they basically, if say I wanted to go into this world, this 1937 world on this virtual simulator, there'd be someone looking exactly like me, an avatar, whatever you want to call it. Maybe he'd have like a mustache instead, and he'd have actually a head of hair, and he'd be like a barman, or he works in, you know, he's a police officer or something like that. And what happens if you go back? So I go back to this inside to this virtual reality system. You then take over that person within the simulator. And if you've got a different name from you, but you become them, and they basically black out that person, the character in the machine blacks out for that time period. So it blacks out for like an hour or two while you become them. And then when you get pulled out of the simulator, they go back into it, and then they just like, they lose a 2 hours of the time. They kind of like, what happened? Where am I? I love that concept, first of all. I think that's amazing. Bear that in mind. So basically, we see early on in the movie, the owner of this simulation company, he goes into the 1937 world, and then, you know, he gets murdered in present day after he comes out of the simulator. And then his partner, this young guy, played by, so I'll just say the actors in this, we have Douglas Hall, played by Craig Burko, Gretchen Moll is in this, and Vincent D'Onofrio, who we all know as Kingpin, he was in Full Metal Jacket as well, he's in this as well. He works as like the engineer in this simulation company. But yeah, the character played by Craig Burko, Douglas Hall, he's like the main protagonist here, and he is you know, his boss is murdered in present day. He becomes the prime suspect. The police are chasing him around. And then basically there's a letter left to him in the simulator by his boss before he dies. So he's going in, he's trying to investigate this and trying to find out, piece this together, what's happened to his boss, what's going on. And then in present day, like, he's this woman played by Gretchen Mol's character says she's the daughter of his boss and he's unaware that he had a daughter. And then it just, there's loads of twists and turns. But when I was watching this, it reminded me of, if you've ever watched the British show with Nicholas Lyndhurst, Goodnight Sweetheart, it reminded me, it's like a science fiction Goodnight Sweetheart. But basically, he's going in and out of this 1937 time, and every time he goes in, you know, it gets worse for him. You know, things happen. The plot goes into a darker sort of area. The people in the simulation start becoming aware of things as well, which is quite interesting. And then you see other people go into the simulator, and it is absolutely bizarre. And it's one of those movies where I feel if it didn't come out the same year as The Matrix, it would have done so much better. And I think, I'm pretty sure Dark City was the exact same. I'm pretty sure Dark City came out in 1999 as well. And that, again, just was a really great science fiction movie. And it's not a knock on The Matrix. And I don't think it is necessarily a better movie than The Matrix. Neither do I think Dark City is. But I think they are equally as good movies. But I think they got kind of pigeonholed into, these are other movies trying to, you know, live off the hype of Matrix. And I don't think that was the case, because they were made probably at the same time. And it's night and day. It's totally different. It's a simple, you know, virtual reality, you know, hooking in and out of the Matrix. But it's a totally different movie. This is like a mystery of finding out what is actually going on in this world. Who murdered his boss? Why was his boss murdered? And it's a really good movie. And I think if you like that noir type of filmmaking, like that Sin City, you know, it's got that very, you know, the aesthetic of the place when he goes to the 1937, the world is really cool to look at. It reminds me of like that Boardwalk Empire as well, that sort of vibe to it. It's very well made, and I think it's a really good movie. So, again, recommended to me by Jed Halpin. Jed, thank you very much for the recommendation, my friend. It is a superb movie to watch this. Well worth it. And by the end of the movie, I was like, wow, I didn't see it coming, mate. I did not see it coming. But yeah, that's a great one. And I think it's a really good use of this, you know, this virtual world. The plot of it, I think it's really well done. The way that they work in all the twists and turns with this story. Next, I want to go to another movie now, and we go to Total Recall, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, Sharon Stone, and Michael Ironside, a 1990 release directed by Paul Verhoeven, who directed RoboCop, Starship Troopers, to name a few. This is a science fiction action movie. Now, you may be thinking, or maybe saying here, Total Recall is not a virtual reality plot. It kind of isn't. It depends where you're coming from here. So the plot of Total Recall basically is Doug Quaid played by Arnie. His character is kind of unhappy with his life. He's just stuck in a rut basically, and he wants something different. And you see, there's this company called Recall, and they advertise on TV these virtual memories. So they do implants into your brain and give you a virtual memory. So you can go in for one afternoon, you have a virtual memory of like a 2-week trip to Hawaii or whatever. But you can do loads of different trips, different ideas. So he goes in and he's warned against doing it by like his colleagues and stuff like that. But he decides to go to Recall, and he goes in there and he says, you know, they say, what do you want to do? And they give him a few choices. And he decides to become a secret agent from Mars, and the story is he's going to Mars. That's the implant they're going to give him. But we see early on when he's getting the surgery, something goes wrong, and then people are after him then. And then he starts to cotton on, and he realizes that he is actually a secret agent. He goes to Mars for real in the story, and he's got to basically save the people of Mars against the bad guys, basically. But the story of this really is, Well, the theory is, because I've talked about this on the show before, is it actually the implant? Is it a memory? Is it the recall memory? Or is it all happening for real? Did he actually go to Mars? Or was all this part of the implant? It's hard to say, isn't it? I kind of lean towards it's more it was all real. And maybe I've said differently before, but that's my verdict right now. I think it was all real. I think they suppressed his memories. Something happened when they were doing the implant surgery. He started to remember who he really was, and then he decided to go to Mars to save the people who he was dreaming about prior. But yeah, this is one of my favourite Arnie movies. I think Arnie does really good sci-fi movies. I think Running Man's another great one. This is a solid film. Really solid film. I think the music's great. The visuals of the movie are stunning. And I expect nothing other than that with Paul Verhoeven. He's an excellent director. Practical effects, you know, you're seeing... One of my favourite scenes in this movie is the two-week scene. And I think for a lot of people, you know, it's a favourite scene where he goes into this Mars airport and he's got, like, the female face on him. And then he does, like, the sort of, like, Mission Impossible thing where he takes the mask off. But he goes in and they ask him a question. He says 2 weeks in this female voice. It's like a female actor at first. And then he has, like, this face mask on of a female. And it starts breaking and he keeps on saying, 2 weeks, 2 weeks. And then the face... It must be, I don't know if it's Tom Savini who does the effects maybe, but it's whoever does the effects on this movie, they're amazing. But you see then the face all like fall out and like decayed away. Well, not decayed away, it just sort of like opens up and then you see Arnie's face, but you can see it's kind of like a clay face at like first, like it's a molded face. And then it flips to him as the actor. It's really well made. Check it out if you don't know what I mean, or check this movie out for sure if you've never seen it. But yeah, it's a solid movie, this. I love this movie. I think it's got some great actors in there as well. Sharon Stone's brilliant. I think Michael Ironside as well. He is in some really top movie. I think he's just like the perfect villain. Michael Ironside, he is brilliant as a villain. Top villain. But yeah, Arnie at his best in this movie. Total Recall, he goes to Mars. He saves the people of Mars in the story. I think it's really well made. I think it's a great story. But I think, again, using that virtual reality plot... with the, you know, again, whether it is, it's one of them where it gets you thinking, and whether it all is actually real or it is a virtual reality, you know, it is a virtual memory. That's where I think I get it. Some people may be saying this is not it's not a VR based movie. I think it can be both. It can be, it's got a question mark over this one where you kind of think it could be a virtual reality movie. It's kind of like that Inception idea is like, you know, what is actually going on here? You're kind of never going to know quite sure what is going on with this movie. And maybe the book says different because I think it was based on a book. But I think it's one of the, I think it was all real, but I like the idea that it could be virtual reality and everything going on in this story could be completely a dream. You know, just a memory, what they've implanted in his brain. That's what I like about it. So it definitely, for me, can work as a VR-based movie. And if you say no, it doesn't, I don't mind. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm throwing it out there for discussion, ladies and gents. Let's get a discussion going. Next up, I want to discuss another one. This is Ready Player One, released in 2018, directed by Steven Spielberg, starring, who we got here? Ty Sheridan as Wade Watts. Olivia Cooke is in this movie. Ben Mandelson as the villain Nolan Sorrento. Plot of this movie, it's set in 2045. The world is crumbling. The world's, you know, it's, you know, on its backside, basically, the world. And this young lad, Wade Watts, he's living in this location in America called The Stacks. And it's where, like, all these camper vans are just, like, towered on top of each other because people, you know, there's not enough room for people anymore in the world. And basically, the virtual reality is the only place to have a safe space, a safe haven in the world. So everyone virtually lives in the dumps, but goes into this virtual reality world called The Oasis. Now, the creator of The Oasis, played by Mark Rylance, and the character is James Halliday, he passes away, and he's passed away years ago. But before he died, he started this competition for this Easter egg. And it's kind of a bit like like a Willy Wonka, Charlie in the Chocolate Factory, where you've got to find these free keys, and whoever finds these free keys within the Oasis wins the prize of becoming the owner of the Oasis, and, you know, unlimited money. They become super rich and they own the Oasis to do whatever they want with it. So Ty Sheridan's character, Wade Watts, he's, you know, him and a bunch of other characters are trying to find these Easter eggs and doing it for years. And years have gone by, no one's found any of the keys yet. But he ends up finding the first key, and then they go on to this story to finding, trying to find the rest of the keys. And it's a, you know, it's a movie that's based on a book. A lot of pop culture references in there. I personally did, I wanted to talk about this one because I watched it last night for the second time I watched it, I think. And the first time I watched it, I was not keen on this movie. I really enjoyed the book, and I was kind of had that like snobby attitude to it, like with the movie. I was like, oh, this is nothing like the book. It's not good, this. And it was a wrong attitude to have. I now watched it and really just appreciated a lot more as a movie on its own, separate from the book. And I really enjoyed it. I'll be honest with you, I really enjoyed it watching it this time around. And I got a lot more of the references because last year I watched The Shining for the first time. And there's a, you know, there's a good like 5-10 minutes based in The Shining in that hotel, motel, whatever it was. And I probably didn't get the references at the time. And there's a few other references what I really like as well. You know, there's Godzilla, King Kong, Back to the Future, pop culture galore in this movie. But I really did enjoy it. I think it was a really well-directed Spielberg movie. The score was amazing. I think Ben Mendelsohn as this evil... So he is the boss, Nolan Sorrento, of IOI, this evil company who are trying to, you know, manipulate the contest and trying to win it so they can use the Oasis for bad things, to charge people more money to use the Oasis. But it's a really good movie. Ready Player One, I think, is a great virtual reality. And this is definitely, no doubt about it, a virtual reality movie. VR-based movie. They use the virtual reality headsets. They have like the running boards and stuff with it, like the treadmills where they're running on. It's a cracking movie. I think I love the pop culture references. And overall, it's just a solid film from A to B to C. Great movie. Ready Player One. The last movie I want to discuss is The Matrix, released in 1999, directed by the Wachowskis, Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne, and Carrie-Anne Moss. Again, this is one of my favourite science fiction movies, action movies going. I think it's stunning. I think the first one was amazing. The rest of them have been absolute garbage. I'll just say it. The new one was crap as well. I know they're meant to be doing another one as well, but I like just watching the first one for it was. I think it's a great movie. The action scenes in this are amazing. The martial arts. The story is really good. My favorite scene is very much the one at the end with, you know, when he becomes the one. They think he's dead. And then, oh, you know, spoilers, but look, it's a 20-year-old movie that everyone's seen. Everyone thinks he's dead, but then he becomes the one. But I think this movie is great for, it's got a cracking cast. I think it's just a really great pacing of the movie, solid action scenes. And I love that, you know, they take the red pill or the blue pill. The red pill, you take that and you come out of the Matrix that you hooked into. Real life is the Matrix, basically. And then you come into the real world. And in the real world, they're fighting these sentinel robots. In the Matrix, they're fighting these agents, one played by Hugo Weaving, who are kind of like the antivirus software of the Matrix, trying to defeat people like Neo, Morpheus. Great movie, great story. Virtual reality for sure, because in the Matrix, that is essentially virtual reality. And I love the fact they can put programs to learn different martial arts. They can, you know, they can manipulate the Matrix to do like crazy jumps, crazy like athletic type things. It's great. It's a really good movie. But again, I think it's a solid virtual reality based movie, The Matrix. How could you have a VR based headline topic without featuring The Matrix? But they are my four choices for today's headline topic. Now let's move on to the next segment of today's show.
Case covers take on other case covers. Can you handle it?
Case cover collision. Case Cover Collision.
Case Cover Collision. Each and every week, I choose a different movie and look at the different case covers for that movie and put them up against each other to find out which one is the best on Case Cover Collision. Now, this week on Case Cover Collision, I will be looking at the movie The Crow. And I've got a 4K Steelbook because they've got some new releases coming out soon and a Blu-ray of that movie as well. But let's talk about this movie. First of all, this was released in the 90s. Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee, fantastic performance. A lot of tragedy over this movie as well. You know, he sadly passed away during the filming of this movie due to a gunshot with a prop gun, I think it was. And it is a really, you know, sad story, but they really accomplished a remarkable thing in completing this movie. And it doesn't feel like he's missed in this movie because they've shot it really well. He's very much a big part of this movie. You know, his scenes are remarkable. I only watched this over the first time, for the first time maybe in the past 5 years or so, and it is one of my favourite movies, The Crow. I think it is an absolute classic in my mind. I feel like as well that maybe when we used to do, maybe on a previous version of Case Cover Collision, we've looked at this movie before. I feel like maybe when we used to do the sort of like a different version of this segment on the show a few years back, but it doesn't matter because there's some new releases to discuss, and I think these case covers are looking awesome. But yeah, great movie. I'm not kind of all in on this, you know, this new remake they're on about doing. I've seen the trailer; it just doesn't do it for me. You know, I think kudos if they're gonna make movies, fine. They're gonna do it. It's not gonna change my opinion. The original was a classic. I don't think I'd watch the new one. I just don't. I have no intention of watching it, unless it's just on TV sometime. Maybe I turn it on to see what it's like. But yeah, I've not really got the interest in watching it. I don't think it's one I'm gonna jump to watch when it comes out. But yeah, the original. If you've not watched it before and you like that, you know, like sort of like noir tone, very. How can you really describe The Crow as a genre? I think just a great movie. It's just a great movie. Very dark tones to it. Dark themes. Very, you know, there's violence in this movie. But it's a really great story. Great story, a guy who dies, but he comes back as this crow character, this guy wearing makeup, who wants to avenge the people who killed him and his girlfriend. It's such a top story. It's brilliant. I love it. Absolutely love it. But let's get into it. Anyway, Case Cover Collision. First of all, we're going to look at the new upcoming, I think this comes out in June actually, the 4K standard release of this cover. And man, this is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. You see here, this cover is using the colours of black, white, and then there's like a light blue in there as well. Brandon Lee's a crow in the centre, and it looks like it's like raining in the background. He's walking in the city streets, and he's looking at the camera. It's a long shot. You can see all his body in the rain like dripping down his hair. You see his hair all wet. He's got the makeup on, the white makeup, and you know, the white and the black makeup. Brilliant. In the background, then you see like sort of like angel's wings in a white color behind him as well, and he's wearing a black suit. And again, it's like you see the background, the sky's all black, and there's like a light on him and in the path behind him and the path below him, a white light shining down on him, kind of like he's sent down from the heavens to do God's work. But he's the crow, he's just to kill all the criminals who killed him. Above that, then you've got the crow title in a large text, and it's got like this like blue outline around it, this like blue light color to kind of give it a bit of contrast as well in there. And above that, you've got, again, quite large, different font, Brandon Lee, the name of him, the actor, sadly, who passed away. I love this cover. I think it's so well done, this cover. You only have to feature his character on the front cover, and you can see it just looks visually great. I mean, you could have done it a bit differently, I suppose. You could have had him a bit more of a close-up shot, but I think it really works well. This movie's him going around the streets trying to find the people who killed him. in one night. And this is basically what this cover is. He's sent down to do the job he's got to do. He's got to kill those people. And it's a cracking cover. I love the colour. Just a black and white, very simple colour scheme, but it works with this cover, with this movie. I think this is a solid cover. This is going to be a hard one to beat for sure for me. Let's now move on to the Blu-ray cover of this. So this is the Blu-ray and digital cover of The Crow. Now, a similar type of feel for this one, but a bit of slightly different. So it looks, you know, it's very much like the similar shot, if not the same shot. It looks a bit more blurred out, but the background is more white, this background. Less of the black colour. It's more like a white background. He's, again, on the city streets, and there's very much, there's rain in the background, but it's a lot lighter. You know, the white background is clearly more impactful on this one. At the top of it, you've got Brandon Lee, small at a time, in a black text. Then you see him, you know, in that long shot again, walking, looking towards the camera. Then you've got that symbol in front rather than behind him this time. I think it's Angel Wings, or am I missing something that I'm missing from the plot? It's a crow, isn't it? What an idiot I am. Oh man, what an idiot. It's a crow, isn't it? It's the movie's called The Crow. It's a crow. In a white on his chest. This time it's the same font, but it is in a red colour. So we see the crow, it looks a bit larger, and it's across his kind of like just below his chest here. And then you see again all the city landscape, and it says here, tagline, a stunning work of visual style. I like this cover. Again, it's very similar to the first one, but it's just a kind of a different take on it, a different colour scheme, really. More going into the first one was like black and white. This one is more of a use of a white and red with the logo. But I do like this one. For me, though, the standard 4K beats it so far. I think that one's the best one so far. Even though this is a great looking cover as well, would make a great poster in a movie room. I do like that 4K standard cover. I think it's a beautiful cover. Next, we move on to the final 4K final cover for this edition of Case Cover Collision, and we've got the Crow Steelbook 4K Steelbook cover. And this is like the slip cover on the front, first of all, to talk about this. This one, again, this is a very different, looking at them first two covers, a very different type of cover. Different arrangement, different look to it. At the top of it, you know, it's color scheme wise, it's a white background. And then you see side on, a crow in a kind of like a blue color, like a blue sky of this crow. The crow takes up the full screen. But inside this painted crow, you see Brandon Lee's the character, the crow. And he's looking in the distance. He's looking side on this time. And you see his character inside the crow. Different take. And I like the way they've done that. Different take here, using the crow, the actual crow, the animal. And then using him inside that with the black and white makeup still. Above that, you've got the Brandon Lee name again in black text. And this is onto the white background now. And then the crow is in a black. Same font again, but a lot smaller this time in a black text. And you see in the background as well, it is a white background, but then the sound of like dashes of rain in a light gray going along in the background, which I think is just very subtle, but it really works. And it kind of looks like an oil painted look to the edges of the crow. God, I'm gonna butchered this one today, haven't I? But it's kind of like smudged into the background to kind of give it that oil painting, like blurred effect, which really looks nice. It's a really like a painted, really artistic look here. I really like this cover. I think it's a really nice cover as well. I think the only thing I would say, they could have used a better photo of Brandon Lee's The Crow inside the actual crow here. I think maybe like a close-up of his face would have looked a bit cooler. But yeah, that would be my own critique with this cover. But yeah, I like this cover. I think it's a really nice one for the Steelbook. Really good-looking cover. But which one is the winner of this edition of Case Cover Collision? I think you know which one it's going to be. It is the standard 4K of The Crow. The standard 4K is brilliant. I think it's that black and white colour scheme. It's great. I just love the look of it. Very noir, very much the tension, the feeling of this movie put into a cover. It is fantastic. I really like it. And that is why this week's edition of Case Collision, it is the winner. Now, let's move on to the next segment of today's show.
The Amazon Top 10 is approaching. Prepare yourself. 10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2. 1. The Amazon Top 10 has arrived.
The Amazon Top 10. Each and every week, I give you the Amazon Top 10, the best sellers list for Amazon.co.uk for DVDs, Blu-rays, and 4Ks. Now, let's look at the Top 10 best sellers list for this week, ladies and gents. First of all, we have at number 10, Death in Paradise Series 13 on DVD. Never watched it. Number 9, we have Disney's Wish on DVD. At number 8, we have The Great Escaper on DVD, 2023 movie. At number 7, we have Dune Part 2 on 4K. Still not got around to seeing that one, but I'm interested to see it because I wasn't too sure on the first one. It felt like it was missing something, that second part to it. But that's at number 7. At number 6, we have Barbie on DVD. At number 5, we have Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom on DVD. Still not one I've seen. Be honest, not one I'm really looking forward to seeing. I probably won't even watch that, if I'm being honest. Number 4, we have Aliens on 4K. Ooh, I love Aliens. Love me some Aliens. Number 3, we have One Life on DVD. At number 2, we have Oppenheimer on DVD. And at number 1, on DVD, we have Wonka, leading the pack at number 1. Now, that is the Amazon Top 10 for this week, ladies and gents. Let's move on to the final segment of today's show. And let's get to it. First of all, a big thank you. What is the final segment? The final segment is... I've not done a show in a few weeks, so I've lost track. You've probably realised. The final segment of today's show is a segment called Not So Worthy Blockbuster Housekeeping. This is the part of the show where we kind of just ease down, chill out at the end of the show and have a little chit-chat about what's going on with the channel and what's going on in Movie Cheer Town. Now, first of all, I want to say, two or three weeks ago, we had the 1K live stream celebrating 1,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel. Again, thank you very much, guys, for everyone in the community for getting the channel to 1K subscribers. It's still awesome. Really, I really find it amazing. It's awesome. That's all I can say. But yeah, thank you again. But we did the live stream, and thank you for everyone who watched that, either on the live chat or who watched it afterwards on a replay. Really enjoyed that. I don't do live streams that often, but I do when I do them, I do enjoy them. I think they're fun to do. But yeah, that was great. Like I said, we've not done a show in a few weeks, so I want to say, if you've not watched it as of yet, the Laserdisc discussion with me and Ben, aka Rider Rated 18, we did that a few weeks back and put it together, and it was a really, really great episode that I really enjoyed. I always enjoy talking with Ben. I think he's a cool guy, and he knows his stuff with Laserdisc. And so if you've not checked out that video, maybe you're not really aware of what Laserdisc is, or you're not a fan of it, check it out, because I think it's a really good discussion just to find out a bit more about the format, because I used it as, for me personally, I really enjoyed it because I learned a hell of a lot about this format over the past two chats with Ben about Laserdisc. I think it was really good. Last week we had a video on the channel, movies based on TV shows, and before that we had the Mission Impossible movie stack. You're probably noticing few of them videos are maybe they feel a bit outdated, some of them, when I discuss certain things on them. So basically, a lot of them videos are the Patreon videos that I use. I don't do Patreon anymore, but I've got a bunch of them that have been unlisted on the channel that I'm just gradually putting them into the main feed. So I obviously, over the past few weeks, I'm aware I've not been doing episode every week of the Movie Cheer podcast, but I've always been putting out content with them videos. Kind of just want to get them out there into the feed sooner rather than later before they become a bit sort of like out of context with some of the topics and stuff like that. So I thought let's throw as many of them out in between doing episodes. And to be honest, it's been good because it gives me a bit of a break in between as well, which is good. I think it's good to have them little breaks, and it's still, there's always content out there on the YouTube channel, which is always cool. But yeah, I appreciate patience with them not being, you know, regular episodes of the Movie Cheer Pod. But anyway, let's get to some comments here at the end of the show within the Movie Cheer Town community. I've got one here, first of all, from Mark, Mark G. Mark is a really good member of this community, been a member for a long time. I really like Mark. He's a good friend. Mark wrote on the Movies Based on TV Shows episode, great discussion piece. Lost in Space was a decent movie based off an original 60s show and stood up well on its own. Man from U.N.C.L.E. was another good film that crossed over well. Obviously, the Mission Impossible as well, you mentioned. I've cut off the rest of that conversation. I do apologize, Mark. But yeah, I would say Lost in Space, I remember that being a huge movie when that came out. Was it like late 90s or early 2000s? With the guy from Friends in, played, is it Matt LeBlanc? He was in that, I'm pretty sure. That was a huge movie. I remember watching it. I'm going to have to give a revisit to. But Man from U.N.C.L.E. was a solid film. I really enjoyed that. I'm really disappointed they've never got around to doing a sequel to that. It was a really solid movie, that one. But yeah, great comment, Mark. Really appreciate it, mate. Next up, we have a comment from Simon Michael Davies, new member to the community. Great video, buddy. I'm 100% with you on Batman and Robin. This is on the films that shape my movie taste. 100% with you on Batman and Robin. It is a great movie. It's a nostalgia-filled bonkers throwback to my childhood that I adore. Yes, also adore The Lion King so much. That and Beauty and the Beast remain my favourite animated movies to this day. I've seen both of them now. Lion King is one obviously I grew up with watching. Beauty and the Beast, I probably did watch it as a kid, but I couldn't really remember it. I've seen the remake, I really enjoyed that. I have watched the original, but yeah, it's something maybe because I didn't watch it as much as a kid. The Lion King has always been one, but I think it's a good movie, even so. But yeah, Batman and Robin definitely is. Even though it's nostalgia, it's well worth the watch and really, really fun movie to see. But yeah, there's some comments from the Movie Cheer Town community. And that's it for another show, ladies and gents. If you enjoyed today's show, please do give it a like and subscribe to the channel if you're not already. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening to a podcast app of your choice, please do subscribe to the app and leave a 5-star review and let me know, and I will read out the review. All your support really does help. And what I'm also going to do, I'm going to leave in an Amazon affiliate link for The Crow, them two new releases of The Crow. If you're interested in buying them, obviously a small portion of that sale will go towards supporting the Movie Cheer podcast as well, if you do buy through them links. But yeah, it's been a great show, as always. Virtual reality movies, VR-based movies. What are some of your favourite choices of these movies using that plot format? What did you think of my choices today? Do you think some of them maybe weren't really VR? Let me know your thoughts, ladies and gents. Let me know your thoughts as well on the Crow cover. What is your favorite case cover, collision cover on today's episode? And also let me know what you think of what I've been watching over this past week. Obviously, like I said, I watched Ambulance and The Frighteners as well. I want to know your thoughts on both of those movies. It's been a great show. I'm glad to be back doing another episode after quite some time away. It's been a really fun packed episode. We'll be back for another episode very soon, I'm sure. But thank you very much for watching, ladies and gents. Remember to spread a bit of movie cheer. And as always, I will see you next time.